The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
We were in the second, third paragraph here. I don't know, every print is different. Oh, I think we have the same print. So basically, in the previous paragraph, we learned this idea that a human being has to trust someone, and if he doesn't trust Hashem, so memela he's trusting someone else, something else. Because you know, he said, "Poshet, the person stays a whole day and he's hungry. He's trusting that when he comes home tonight, he's going to have something to eat." There's always relying on something. We couldn't live without reliance. And he says, and if you're taka relying, if you're not relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you rely on something else. And if you rely on something else, he puts you in the hands of the thing that you relied on. And some of it seemed pretty parav, but then, of course, by the end already, or I gave a sheyivtach ba'odom esom sabsur min Hashem yosur liboy. So it's oror is yivtach ba'odom. It seems like it's a very serious mistake or infraction, but we still didn't get the extent of it. And what I mean by that is as follows. I'm going to ask you a hakira. I have a shayla. What does it mean that when Hashem takes away, I mean, what that means itself is a shayla, but he takes away his hashgocha from the person who's not trusting in him, and he puts him in the hands of the thing, of the entity, of the person, of the even of the self that he's trusting, right? I want to ask you, Shaila, what does that mean? Does that mean that he's putting it in the hands of that entity and therefore he will be subject to the natural laws of that entity? For example, he trusts in his stock portfolio. All right? Person trusts in his stock portfolio. So what happens? So if he trusts in his stock portfolio, so I say like this, you know, Hashem's going to put him in the hands of the stock market. Now, the stock market, some people make money, some people don't. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. So he's in the hands of the natural cause and effect, the natural movement of things. That's one way of looking at it, okay? And that's not so great because just like it might go up, it might go down. Or is it worse than that? Is it the pshat, if Hashem puts him in the hands of the one he trusted, and if he trusted in anything other than Hashem, he's doomed? Because you're trusting the stock market? Yes, the stock market goes up and goes down, and there's some people that make money and some people don't. But they're all in the hands of Hashem. So if he's putting you in the hands of the one you trusted, in other words, say, I don't need to trust Hashem. I got my stocks. I got my money in the bank. I got my portfolio. I got my MBA. I got everything. I don't need it. So then the pshat is not just that he's leaving you to the teva of what normally happens that way, but it's much worse than that. Since you've removed your trust from him, he's saying, I'm putting you in the hands of that market. And the market has dirty hands. The market cannot help you. The market can't do anything for you. Your money can't do anything for you. It sounds like, from the ensuing paragraph or two, that the second is the concept that he's talking about. Because look what he says. V'myivtach al chochmoso. Let's say he's deciding to trust his wisdom. Smart man. He's learned it, the tachbulah yisav, and all of his eitzes and his tricks and his strategies. V'koyach gufay, and the strength of his body. V'hishtadlusay, and the efforts that he's capable of putting in. Yigalorik. He is going to put in effort for emptiness, for nothingness. Not the pshat, he's going to be in the hands of his body and whatever the body can handle. No, it's nothing. V'yechlash koichoy, and his koyach will, by definition, will become weaker. V'tikzar tachbuloysov mehasig cheftzoy. Not that the tachbuloysov, his efforts and his tricks and his strategies, will maybe achieve and maybe not achieve. They will definitely not achieve. V'tikzar tachbuloysov mehasig cheftzoy. K'mei shomar ha-kosov, lo'ichet chachomim be'ormom. The posuk says, lo'ichet chachomim be'ormom. So I guess that I looked this one up. Hachom shirotzim nischakim b'tachpoloseim ebli b'tochem b'Hashem heim nichsholim b'tachpoloseim lohovi aleihem ro. He captures the chachomim with their ormo, with their cunning. The chachomim think with their cunning they're going to succeed. He captures them and devastates them and catches them in the hands of their ormo, of their cunning, and they fall. Shavti v'ro'i tachas ha-shemesh ki lo'i lakali ma'meritz. I looked under the whole shemesh in the whole world throughout the universe, not to the a light people is the running. And not to the strong people is the victory in milchoma. And the wise, smart, the learned people, they don't have bread. In other words, it doesn't say that they're not assured. It doesn't say that they may not have. They won't have.
It'll definitely be the wrong end of the market.
That's right. They're wrong. Kfirim roshu v'ra'evu. Kfirim roshu v'ra'evu. V'dorshe Hashem lo yachzul chol toiv. The powerful ones, they're going to be poor and hungry. And those that seek Hashem will not be lacking anything. So it seems that the pshat is that it isn't that I'm putting you in the hands of the teva, and the teva has its way of sometimes helping and sometimes not. There is such a teva. We know there is such a thing. The people who have they go into a certain profession, generally they make money. Other professions generally don't. There is a teva. But that's not where it's at. We have a little bit more. We'll read one more paragraph. Then there's an interesting Mishnah in Kiddushin, which I think sheds light on this. But so the idea is not that you got a 50-50 chance if you don't trust in Hashem, is you're a loser. You have no chance, because if he puts you in the hands of anything other than him directly, even though there is a natural circumstance there, and sometimes they win and sometimes they lose, not you. In other words, it's almost as if who's the winner and who's the loser in the market? The guy who has the bitochon b'Hashem, he could win. Or the guy who has the schus, he could win. But the guy who doesn't trust Hashem, no, I don't need Hashem, I got such a portfolio, the market can never go down so much. That can't be. No, then he's going to lose, because he's completely off base, and Hashem says, it's the market. I'm putting you in the hands of the market. The market has no hands. The market has no capability. Anything that's there is the appearance of teva, which sorts itself out for people according to their merit. We'll see in a moment. I just want to do one more paragraph, and then we'll...
The market theory called the random walk or something like that. It's beautiful, because obviously whoever subscribes to that clearly isn't betachen. It's definitely random.
Yeah.
If it's random... Mm-hmm. Then it's only the betachon, whatever's for sharing. If I think, oh, there's a pattern, there's analysis, I can measure out the volume of this, I'll get in tomorrow.
Okay, well, random doesn't have to be betachon. He could be random to be, but
subscribe to that.
That could have, they could have. Okay, v'im yiftach b'roiv oshroi, yeah? He'll trust in, he has such wealth. You know, there's a certain shear, you know, the halacha says, ha-mevazviz al-yibazviz yoser mi-chumish, that a person, when he gives tztoka, he gives meiser, he shouldn't give more than a fifth. Because Shema Yitzarech Labrius, because maybe someday he will come to need. If you give away too much, you might be needy. But it says that the Poiskim say that somebody who's Muflog Ba'ashirus, he has so many, today I guess you'd say billions of dollars, that it's not Shayech that he's going to come to having to be Machzor Al Psochim to beg for money. He would be allowed to give more than Chumash. But here he says, Im Yivtach Barev Osho, if you're trusting your billions, Yusar Mimenu, not that they may or may not succeed for you, they will be removed from you. V'yishoyer lezuloso, they'll be left for someone else. I don't think it means Yerushim either. Or maybe it does. Kimo Yishomer HaKosuv, Oshir Yishkav, V'lo Yeosef, Ein of Pokach Ve'einenu. He goes to sleep, and then he opens up his eyes in the morning. Nothing left. It takes only, you know, moments to lose. V'omar, al tiga lahashir mi binoscho chadol. Don't work hard to become rich. Mi binoscho chadol. So I think don't, in other words, from your wisdom, stay away, because
back off,
because you ain't going to get it. V'omar, hasui feinecho boi veinenu. Blink, I guess it means like to blink, to look quickly, look at it, and before you blink, you know, you blink, if you look or not look, whichever it means, you're blinking, and then it's gone. In the blink, how do you call it? In the blink of an eye.
What?
Well, I don't know, literal in the blink of an eye, but...
In general.
This is what it seems the concept is.
Many people are very, very rich and don't believe in anything?
Well, so let's that's why I brought this. Okay, so let me just finish the paragraph, and then I know it needs clarification. I have
the guys who are inside traders.
Okay. So I have something I want to share with you on that. I have something I want to share with you on that. I brought it along, so I just want to finish the paragraph. So we're holding at a at a place. Okay, next. What did it say here? Ve'omar, another posuk. Bachatzi yom av yazvenu uva'acharisu yeh novol. Or yisimona mimena hana osoboy. He says, in half of his days, it'll forsake him. Uva'acharisu yeh novol. it's mamish going to be lost. Or even if he'll have it, it'll be withheld from him, the pleasure of enjoying it, which is just like not having it, maybe worse. Hashem will not give him the power to eat from it. It'll be like a pikodoin that he watches it from bad things happening, but eventually he has to give it back, and he's not going to have anything from it. To the sinner, he gives him inyan less of a lichnois, but he gives it up to Hashem. It's not going to be yours. And he brings more and more psukim. Omar Yochin v'tzadik yilbosh v'chesef noki yachalik. V'efshe sheya moment sibas ro'osoy v'avodanash. Then he says even worse. It's possible that the money that he's going to have, he'll have some money. Taka didn't trust Hashem. He's trusting his portfolio. He'll have money. But it'll be sibas ro'osoy v'ovdon nafshoy. It'll be the cause of the evil for him, and the devastation of his nefesh. Omar Hakosuf, Yesh ro choylo ro isi tachas Hashemesh oish shomer olav ro osoy. There is an evil sickness that I've seen tachas Hashemesh, wealth that's guarded, protected for its master, but liro osoy, for his bad, not for his good. Okay. So now I want to just. So it seems from these psukim as follows. It seems very clear from the last two paragraphs and all the psukim that he brings that this concept that he says, if a person trusts something, if he doesn't trust Hashem, he must trust something else. He can't be powerful in trust, because if you're standing in the middle of the world, whatever you need is going to come from someplace. Otherwise, you give up. So if he's trusting anything else, whether it's his wealth, whether it's his wisdom, whether it's his stock portfolio, whether it's MBAs from Harvard, whatever it may be, so we had a Shaila. Does that mean that he's going to be put in the hands of Teva and sometimes win, sometimes lose? Or does that mean he's going to lose?
What does Teva mean?
The natural way of things. So we see that what it means is that this person is definitely going to lose. The stock market will not work for him, and the MBA will not work for him, because he's trusting it. Now, the question that we had was, there is such a thing as natural cause and effect. There are professions that seem to make more money, and there are those that seem to make less money. And there are, there is a certain amount of wealth that, according to the norms of society, if you have so much, you're probably not going to go hungry. So how do we reckon that concept or that reality with this idea that a person who's trusting in these things rather than Hashem, then such a person is absolutely going to lose these things? How does that reckon? Okay, so to try to reckon this, I'd like to just share with you a Mishnah. It's the last Mishnah in Kiddushin. Okay, I apologize. I didn't bring copies for everybody. I just realized almost on the way over here that I wanted to discuss this. Okay. The Mishnah here talks about different halachas, but one of the things is lo yisyachidim hanoshim. One of the last halachas that it says, a person should be careful about yichud with women. To be together with a woman, it's inappropriate. It's not your wife.
What does yichud mean?
A man and a woman being together, that they're alone in privacy. Lo yilamed odom es benoi umnis bein hanoshim. And because of that, you should be careful not to teach your son a trade or a profession where he has to deal a lot amongst the women. Okay, now, Rabbi Meir Oymer, Le'oilom yilamed odom es benoi umnis kala unikia. A person should always teach his son, this is the famous Mishnah, a profession or a trade that's nikia v'kala, that's clean and light. Okay, that's what he should teach him. V'yispala lemi she'oisha v'hanechosim shaloi. And he should pray to the one to whom belongs all wealth and all property, all assets. She'ein umnis, she'ein bo anias v'ashirus. There is no profession or there is no trade that doesn't have poverty and wealth. She'loy anias min ha'umnis, v'loy ashirus min ha'umnis, because poverty doesn't come from the profession and wealth doesn't come from the profession. Ela ha'koy lefi s'chusay, rather everything comes according to a person's merit. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozo Oimer, another opinion. Ra'iso miyomecho chayav oiv sheyesh lahem umnes vehein mispanes in shaloi betzal. Did you ever see an animal or a bird that has a profession? No. And yet they manage to get their sustenance without difficulty. You know, the garbage men leave over some stuff, whatever, however they get it. But they get their stuff without difficulty, without sustenance. And yet they don't have any professions. And they were only created to serve man. And I was created to serve my master. I should be able to get my parnosa without tsar. If the animals and the birds get their sustenance without difficulty, and they are only created to service me, and I was created on a much higher plane to serve my creator, shouldn't I certainly get my sustenance without pain and suffering? Ella, what's the answer? Shaharayoisi masai v'kipachti esparnasosi. I have acted inappropriately, and therefore I have compromised my sustenance, my parnosa. It's because I lost it. Now, it seems, just on the surface, that there's a difference of opinion between Reb Meir and Reb Shimon ben Elozer. It seems that both Reb Meir and Reb Shimon ben Elozer would agree that it's not the profession that brings the money, and it's not the every profession has both. And we'll see in a moment about the issue of what's the norm. But what they seem to be arguing about, according to Reb Meir, he says, a profession is a way of, you know, a trade, a business, a way of making a living. But you should know, the amount that you make depends on your merit. It's something that's up to Hashem. What you make is according to what you earn, not what you earn, but what you deserve, okay? Reb Shimon ben Elozer seems to say more than that. He says, no. He says, it's all there for you to begin with. You deserve that it should be there, shelo b'tzar. You have your parnosa kotsuv, just like the animals and the birds have their sustenance without pain and suffering, you got it too. The only thing is, you can lose it. And if you compromise your actions, you're compromising your sustenance. So he says, according to Reb Meir, it seems you have to earn it. A parnosa, the business, the trade is the way to go about the hishtadlus. But you have to earn it when you're schusim. Seems according to Reb Shimon ben Elozer, you got it. It's all there. You start out with the positive, with a plus in the bank. The only thing is, you got to be careful, because if you don't have it, it means you lost it. And the animals, the birds, they don't lose it because they can't do anything wrong. You got it. Okay. That seems to be the pshat in the Mishnah, which is an interesting way to look at it. In other words, what the Tanoim here are saying is that we look at a business, we look at a profession, we look at a trade, and we say, this has a dollar sign. You know, this is usually worth about, the average plumber makes so much a year, and the average doctor makes so much a year, and the average lawyer makes so much a year. That's the way we look at it. This business is up, this business is down. We look at it this way. That's not the reality. The reality is, yes, there are statistics about the business. However, the way you have to look at it is what happens to the individual happens either according to Reb Meir, according to his merit, or according to Reb Shimon ben Elozer, he had everything before with what measurement he had at the beginning and how that's figured out. He doesn't tell us, but he could lose it. Okay, but the question that remains is, and this really is the difficult question here, and that is, everybody knows that, a doctor makes more money than a dentist more than a teacher more than a janitor, or is it a janitor more than a teacher? I'm not sure.
It depends which union.
Okay, but it's doctor, dentist, janitor, teacher. Plumber is someplace in there. He's probably more towards
more
the top. Anyway, so this is the way it is. Everybody knows that these are the facts. Statistics, you'll do research, you'll whatever you'll investigate, you'll find these are the facts. Now, how does that fit with what the Tana says? There's no umnis that doesn't have anias and shiris. Well, that makes sense. You could win a lottery. I mean, there is occasionally, you know, you make a good investment on the side, you strike gold. That could be. But lo yanias mina umnis, lo yashiras mina umnis. But it does seem to be something natural about certain professions that bring more and certain businesses that bring more and something that doesn't. So what exactly is going on over here? Okay. I think so, but I'd like to maybe explain it a little bit more. If you look at the hemshich of the Mishnah, see, what is the concern over here? The concern over here is we're going to take a profession that compromises our religious principles. Because it started, the Hemshech of the Mishnah is don't be misyached with the Noshim. And don't teach your son an umnis bein hanoshim. And then it says, Rebbe Meir Oimer, you should learn Nikiyah Vekala. And the Mefarshim explain, clean means really clean from sin. And light means, I assume it means, I don't know if I saw it beferish, I assume it means clean from sin, that's what Nikiyah is. And Kala means light enough that you should have a family life, and you should be able to daven with a minyan, and should be able to learn with your kids, and you should be able to take care of, you know, the basics. You should have a life. It shouldn't be a consuming umness, okay? So that's Kala and Nikiyah. Now, the question is, I got a problem. And I think this is what the Tana is addressing. I have a problem. The problem is like this. I have this goal. My whole life, I wanted to be a millionaire. Today, it's, you know, Chock Full of Nuts used to say, better coffee, millionaires money can't buy. Now they say, better coffee, billionaires money can't buy. So a millionaire is no longer any yichus in our society, okay? So I always had this dream to be a billionaire. That's my dream. And I want to be a billionaire. I really want to be a billionaire. I remember maybe I have some good ideas what to do with the money. Maybe I don't, but I want to be a billionaire. Now, Shiloh is like this. So you say, well, you got to be careful. There's certain businesses you can't go into. To compromise mitzvahs, Shabbos, Ehrlichkeit, you know, integrity, halacha, this, that, you know, can't do that. So, yeah, but so if I go into Kala and Nikiyah, I'm not going to be a billionaire. So, like, what should I do? So he says, no, I'll give you an etzah, how to be a billionaire. Go into Kala and Nikiyah and daven. You're asking for wealth, you're asking for possessions. Pray to the one who controls everything, because I'll tell you something, there's no umness that doesn't have both, poor and rich, because riches and poverty don't come from the umness. They come from your schus, or they're there, and you could lose it with your averus. What does that mean? I think what that means is as follows. Yes, there are professions and trades that, according to the natural statistics and the laws of nature make more and make less. That's true. And yes, all factors equal, if you wish to be a billionaire, then you should choose the type of business that generates billions of dollars. That's all true. That's true. Why? Because there is a teva. What does that mean, there is a teva? What teva really means is as follows. You need less schusim to be a billionaire in a billionaire's business than in a millionaire's business. Because there is such a thing as teva. But it's the pshat is like this. You have to get it. It's given to you. It's not because of the trade. It's not because of the business. There's a teva, and which means like this. Normally, people in this business, this is the norm. However, the norm is not delivered by the business. The norm is delivered by the Rabbeinu Shalalem. How does he deliver it? Well, he says like this. If you chose a billionaire's business, you need less miracles to become a billionaire than if you chose a millionaire's business or a whatever it is business, okay? You need less miracles. Now, if you need less miracles, you need less schusim, because schusim come according to what you deserve. Do you deserve a miracle or don't you? So it's like this. If I go into the billionaire's business, I won't need so many miracles to become a billionaire. That's true. And therefore, I could become a billionaire. But I can't go into the billionaire's business because I'm going to have to compromise my religious principles. So then the Tana says like this, don't worry. Because if you want to be that billionaire, pray that you'll be that billionaire, because it doesn't come. Even the billionaire's business that naturally, apparently seems to come from the billionaire's business, it doesn't really come from there. It comes according to the schusim. Normally, if all things were equal, you need more schusim, you need more merit to become a billionaire from a less than billionaire's business. However, if you go into it because of your religious conviction, so now you'll have more schus, so you'll be able to get the same thing that the other person could have gotten with less schus in the natural way. This is natural for people. Let's say you need 10 million schusim to become a billionaire in a billionaire's business. But in a millionaire's business to become a billionaire, you need 15 million schusim. You will get that through tefillah, and I dare say, and this is my own hosof, but I think it's very logical, you'll also get that in the schus that you chose the millionaire's business to stay away from doing something wrong in the billionaire's business. So you have that schus, which is a tremendous schus, which is really a schus that doesn't even contradict the Bederach Shodom Rod Saleilich Malichan or so. Because I'm not going into the millionaire's business because I only want to be a millionaire. I want to be a billionaire. But I'm going, it sounds so funny to talk about these things, but I want to be a billionaire, but I'm going into the millionaire's business because I'm afraid in the billionaire's business, I'm going to compromise my religious principles. So now I say, Hashem, help me in the millionaire's business to be a billionaire. Because first of all, normally people need less chusim, and they need less chusim in the billionaire's business. I need more chusim, but I'm asking you to compensate for that. I'm praying to you, and I'm asking you to compensate because I did it for you. I went into the millionaire's business instead of the billionaire's business because I didn't want to compromise your directives, and therefore that schus should serve me, and it can serve me because there is no such thing as a millionaire's business and a billionaire's business be'etzem, per se. The only thing that there really is, there are a billionaire's business, meaning that you need less miracles to become a billionaire in the billionaire's business than you need to become a billionaire in the millionaire's business. But my good intentions and my sacrifice for you and my tefillahs will allow, and my trust in Hashem and all of these factors will allow for that to change. So what comes out is as follows from all this discussion. I'm sorry for this whole whatever it is, but I think it's a very it's worthwhile to look at this Mishnah and to really get it straight. What I think what comes out of the whole thing is that we don't have a realistic perspective of the real world. The real world, it seems, according to what we see from Chazal, according to what the Chovas HaLevavos is describing, the real world is, I think the Navardikas used to say it, Sunishdo kein teva. There's no teva. Teva, nature, is a. I once heard, I don't know if it's nice to say, as a kid, I heard a priest speaking on the radio, and he said, there are many names for God. And he started saying, chance, circumstance, luck, nature, you know, there are many, many names. But all of this really means, I don't know what he meant, but what all this really means is that there is no such thing as teva. There is no nature. It just means that, yes, statistically, this is more natural. The billions from this profession, the millions from this business, and the hundreds of thousands from this one. That's true. Statistically, it breaks down that way. And since it seems... Well, let me just finish. And since it seems to be natural that way, therefore, if you go into the one that produces more, you need less miracles to get those results because the nature appears that way. Nature is an illusion. It appears that way. And therefore, you need less miracles from that. However, if you have the schusim for that, the tefillahs, the schusim, or the mesiras nefesh of giving up this greater opportunity, because in order to keep Shabbos, so to keep mitzvahs, so then you'll have the... Did I tell the story about this Jew in the garment industry from Los Angeles? Did I tell that story? Yes. This little Yiddle, he refused to be Machal Shabbos. His friends started to work on Shabbos. He started to make handkerchiefs, kerchiefs in his living room. And then he became the biggest garment distributor in the world, or at least in Los Angeles, I don't know, on the West Coast. So in other words, that's if we have that schus, so we have to look at all of the teva just as more natural, need for less schusim, need for less special intervention. However, even the teva itself is all intervention. It's all a gift from Hashem. And anyone who puts himself in the trust of that teva will find not that that teva has a track record of 50-50. That track record, that teva, will fail him because he's trusting the teva, he's trusting the thing, and the teva doesn't exist. The teva has no power. The teva doesn't have a 50% batting rate, batting average. The teva has zero. It's just that the teva appears that way because people go into it, and sometimes they have schusim, and therefore it works that way, and it needs less miracles. Okay, yes, I'm sorry.
So how does it need less miracles if it's really less than illusion? What? I'm confused with the whole teva idea. If I was saying it's an illusion,
well,
so how is it that it's more statistical chances if you go into it and there's less?
Okay, so now I don't want to get to the Haggadah yet, and we still have a little time to go. But the truth of the matter is that maybe the pshat in the Ramban at the end of Parshas Boy, where the Ramban says that from the Nisim Gluyim, we learn to recognize the Nisim Nistorim, because he says everything is really Ness. So the pshat is Ness is also an illusion. What is Nes? You know what a Nes is? You know what the word Nes stems from? A Nes is a banner. It's a banner. It's a way to see Hashem's existence in the world. But it's not really a miracle. Because there wasn't a teva there to make this into a miracle. You didn't need a change of the a miraculous change of the natural to make it happen, because there was no natural either. Nes is the difference between nisim nistorim and nisim gluyim. Nisim nistorim, they're hidden. Those miracles are hidden. They're not nisim. They don't shine as a banner. You don't see Hashem through those unless you look. If you look, you see it. You know, we in the few, and the Ramban says we need the Nisim Gluyim of Yitzias Mitzrayim to be able to recognize, to be able to realize that there's such a thing as hidden miracles. But if you have, when we see the Nisim Gluyim, what the Nisim Gluyim of Mitzrayim really tell us, in other words, the words are change of teva. But teva is just a word, lesaber es ha'uzen. Teva, nature, is a word just to make it palatable, to make it understandable. This is the natural way, and this is the miraculous way. But the reality is that the natural is miraculous, and the miraculous is natural, because that's all part of the system. In fact, the truth of the matter is that we say it every day. We say, yoitzer or uboirei choyshech, oise sholoim uboirei esakol, it's loshen hoive. It's present tense. We don't say, we should say Hashem is Yotzar Oyer Ubora Choyshech Yotzar Sholem. Maybe it has to make every day. That's something else. That's a problem that we have in our communities. You know, Ubora Es Hakol, Ubora Es Hakol. No, he wasn't Bora Es Hakol. It's constantly. It's kind of HaMechadeish B'tuvai B'chol Yoyim Tomid Ma'aseh B'reishis Komur Le'oisei Oyrim Gedoylim. He makes these Oyrim Gedoylim. He's doing it. He's doing it now. So this has to be our Hashkofa. Our Hashkofa has to be, and it makes such a difference, because what comes out is something else. If you think about it, what comes out is something else. It's like, if, and this I think is really the omic, the depth of this concept, and I think it's a tachbula, it's a means for us to strengthen our bitochen. What's the real competition to bitochen in our life? I'll give you an example. There were a couple of times, I mean, one time, the first time I guess I remember the best, but the one time in Los Angeles where we had, the yeshiva had about $500,000 in a money market for about a period of 6 months. We had inherited some money, and we had about $500,000 in a money market. And I discovered that year I couldn't daven. I davened anyway, but I couldn't do it. Why? Because the end of the Shemone Esrei for me was always like this. I need 20 today. I need 15 today. I'm talking about 1,000. You know, I'd mean it because I needed it and I couldn't survive. This way, I say, yeah, I need 20. But if not, I'll just write a check from the money market and transfer it. I couldn't daven because I had the money market. So the shter, the thing that interferes with our bitochen, is the natural things in life. The money, I do have it. When I got more money in the bank, I have less tefillah, I have less bitochen because I have money. When I have less money, before I had my degree, I had less bitochen. Now that I got my degree, I already have my earning power doubled, so I have more bitochen. This is the way we look at things. If we would realize that all these things are a sham, that everything is a facade, it's all Universal Studios. Let me just finish that. It's all on the outside. It's all on the outside. It's not real. There is no reality. There's only one reality. That reality is Ein Oid Milvadui. There's a Rabbeinu Shalalem, and he is in control, and he takes control. And what he says when he says, I'll put you in, if you don't trust in me, I'll put you in the hands of the one you're trusting in, what he's really saying is, listen, you want to trust in that? I'll show you what trust in that means. I'll teach you the lesson. And the lesson is, it means nothing. The lesson is, you have no eitzah but to trust in me. Like I've quoted here, I think last time or one time from my mother-in-law, I said, you know, you have to have bitochon because you have no breira. There is nothing else. To the degree that we realize that there is nothing else, it's to that degree that we're capable of this trust. And I'd just like to, maybe conclude with this idea. It's difficult sometimes for us to come to this realization that it's all just trust in Hashem and everything will be good. You know, there's a famous story from the Alshich. It's brought in the Nevardika. The Nevardikas in the Madrigas Odom, they have a kuntras on bitochen. So this story is brought there that the Al Sheikh HaKodesh was in the Bismedrash in Tzfas and was giving a whole shiur, and he talked about bitochen. And he says that if you have bitochen, you don't got to worry about anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to do ishtadlus. That was what he was preaching at the time. That was his shita. That was the shita he was discussing. I don't know exactly. Chavis Albova says you do have to do ishtadlus, but that's academic. Okay, fine. So he says you don't have to. You just have bitochen. Everything is fine. So he tells a story about about a farmer who was sitting there at the lecture. And the Rebbe said, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to work, you just have to have bitochen. He sold his donkey and his wagon and his, you know, and he's going to sit, he sat by the furnace, and he was saying, till him the whole day. That's all. The family thought he was mishuga, and they didn't know what to do, and this. Giferlich, they have nothing to eat, all the food is gone, now what? The day that he sold the wagon and the donkey, the goy to whom he sold it is going along and he strikes gold. And he on the side of a mountain, he mamish finds unbelievable gold, sources of gold. So he mines it, he pulls it, he schleps it, he fills the wagon, he fills the donkey, with everything full, and he chayach. And Nebuchadnezzar, the last, I guess he was a little too greedy, on the last one, he slipped and he fell down the cliff and finished, he died. The donkey Nebuchadnezzar didn't know what to do. What did he do? He went home to the original owner. He didn't know where he lives. Let me just finish. He didn't know where he lives. He goes home to his owner. And of course, you could imagine the wow. Simcha. But the Talmidim, it says the Talmidim of the Al-Sheikh asked him, they said, Rebbe, this poshita farmer, this poshita Jew, look, he has bitochen, and look what happens to him. We, your loyal Talmidim, things like that don't happen to us, you know. So what they write over there is that he told him, he said that by him there was no suffix, there was no question, there was nothing else. The Rebbe said, if you have bitochen, you don't have to worry about anything else. You people know, well, there's a shita, you do have to do ishtadlus, you don't have to do ishtadlus. There's a chavis alavovus, and there's a ramban, there's a lumdus, is it like this? Once you get, sometimes, I don't know, it's hard to say, but sometimes when you get involved in all the alternatives, well, maybe there is a different way, well, maybe it's not exactly this way, maybe bitochen doesn't mean you're trusting that you're going to have the parnosa, maybe bitochen only means you're trusting everything will be for the good, even if you don't have the parnosa, with all the shailas and this, anything, even shailas and halacha, according to this, the way this story is presented, can also interfere with the bitochen. The bitochen has to be such a thing. It's built on two things. It's built on an einoid milvadoi. It's built on the realization that there is nothing else in this world. And then the emotional impetus for this bitochen is that since there is nothing else in this world, there isn't the profession, and there isn't the trade, and there isn't the money, and there isn't the financial resource, and there isn't the degrees. So, Mimela, I have to trust the Rabbeinu Shalom. And since the human being is of such a nature that he must be trusting something in order to survive a day in his world, he has to be counting on something. And if he knows there is nothing else to count on other than the Rabbeinu Shalom, and especially if the Rabbeinu Shalom teaches him from time to time that when he puts his trust in other things, it's Orur Hagever Asher Som Bizroa Bitochem Bizroa Bizar Orur Hagever Asher Oyvei. Whatever it is, Orur Hagever Asher Yiftach Ba'odem V'Som B'Saras Roy Umin Hashem Yosur Liba. When that happens, so he knows I have no choice. I must trust the Rabbeinu Shalom. And of course, when that happens, everything begins to fall into place.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.